Oh, we're back, people.
Do we even know what episode this is?
Season 4, episode 1.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Did we end at 11 last time?
I don't know. 10 or 11.
Well, I guess we're back.
We have
an episode titled Don't Call It a Comeback, I believe.
Is that what you're going to call it? I like it.
No, I'm pretty sure we have one right now named that. And it's ironic because...
If we don't have one...
I'm pretty sure we do.
This is that's the episode title for this one.
We'll take a peek. I think it's in season 2.
So fill us in, Caleb. What's happened in the last...
I can't remember the last time we had one of these.
It feels like a long time, but it's been 4 or 5 months. That's it.
That's not it. That's an entire, almost half of a year of a podcast that we have only had for a year.
We've had it over a year. Year and a half.
And half of that. That's what I'm saying. It's
LinkedIn still says I'm employed by Underqualified Thoughts. So
mine doesn't.
Oh, wow.
We've already talked about that, though. Offline.
Wait, you took it off of your experience section?
I'm pretty sure.
Is it nowhere on your profile anymore?
I'm pretty sure it's nowhere on my profile.
Oh, wow.
Do you want me to look?
Sure, why not? What are we doing? We make the rules here.
Let me pull it up. Which, by the way, you're technically living a lie right now on Wells Fargo. On your LinkedIn.
What, I'm gonna update the day that I leave?
That's what I did with my profile. When I left school, that's what I did.
Well, yeah, that was different.
Oh, okay. I did take it off the experience.
Bro! So it's not on your profile at all?
It's not on my profile. Let me see.
Go to mine.
It's on your profile.
Did I change the banner photo? I might have changed the banner photo.
I think you did. It's the better looking one.
Excuse me. That QR code was fun to make.
Yeah, it looks clean. Your profile picture still looks great.
I mean, the one that you took. Oh, no, that's one that...
No, that's Leslie.
But then you did
put the green on. Yeah.
All right, so now that we've lost everyone who's not a true homer, and only the few people who actually care about us are still listening.
Scott's probably the only one that's going to reasonably listen to this one.
Your mom.
Kendall. No, I don't think she's going to even see it pop up. I don't think Kendall's going to... I always say Kendall's not going to listen to this, but...
Yeah. So, all right, so the Lewis family, the Lewis clan. Who knows? Maybe I'll post this on the internet. Maybe not. We'll post the episode, but whether or not I'll post about it on LinkedIn is another story.
Yeah, you still need to post other things.
Hey, you calm down. All right, so you give some life updates since we last talked, and then I have some.
I don't really have any life updates.
Oh,
I mean,
yes, you do.
Oh, I guess the podcast doesn't know about the photography thing, do they?
Not at all.
Does it?
Do they?
Like there's actually people there? That's funny. Okay, so yeah, I mean, it was back in December, maybe early December. I don't know why. Some family asked on Facebook, hey, would you be willing to take some photos? Or we need someone to take some photos. And so...
In like a group.
Yeah, it was like the Grove or something, China Grove, the Grove.
Oh, you're going to tell them where you live. Interesting.
They know where we live.
All right. Yeah, go on.
Okay. Anyway, so I think McKamey responded and said, hey, my husband has the ability to. Not like I had a camera or
anything.
She
volunteered you for it?
Yeah. Well, she asked me and then she volunteered me because I didn't have Facebook at that point.
Yeah, we'll get back to that for sure.
Oh, man. So anyway, I took the job. I borrowed David and Nicole's camera and I made it happen. They're not that great. The photos were pretty bad, actually. But I did realize how people are paying money for this again. And so I don't know. I mean, I decided to buy a camera. I paid off the camera. Not like we went in debt over it, but I mean, I paid myself back for the camera. I made enough money to make it make sense. I sold that camera, bought another camera, paid for that one with a lens or two. And anyway, so now it's like a actual side hustle hobby thing that I do.
Shout them out. Shout out the tag.
What?
Your handle on Instagram.
Oh, @ Caleb Cameras. It's stuck, man. It's stuck.
Nah, dude.
He hates it.
Caleb Cameras. My pitch was Caleb Captures. But was that already taken?
It was already taken or it was cringy or something?
Well, no, it was already, I'm pretty sure it was already taken because it makes sense. Like Caleb captures, like capturing life moments. But Caleb cameras sounds like you're like English is not your first language. Mm-hmm. And you're just like learning how to use it as a verb. Caleb cameras.
People take things and break their original meaning all the time. So why can't I take a very normal noun and make it a verb?
This is your communication degree coming out.
There you go.
I have a communication minor, by the way, so watch out. You can't get too fast and loose with me. So tell the people, as you told me, because I remember one of the reasons, and we'll hit on probably all of them, but there are many reasons why this podcast hasn't been recorded, and it's not dead, but it's probably going to become a time capsule, quarterly, every so often update kind of thing. Because I mean, like,
or will it? This costs $50 every year.
We'll see. Hey, you paid for it, shockingly, last year.
And no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. You paid for.
Well, you just Venmoed me. Like I didn't think you were gonna. Okay. I thought you were gonna cancel it, but you didn't.
No. We kept it alive. We thought we would keep it alive.
We still
because might. It's dead.
It ain't dead. One of the reasons why it appeared dead for so long is because, and you could talk about this of why you, how you felt about social media and doing and building something with the podcast, because that was something that was happening around the time that we stopped. Recording.
You want me to talk about it?
Talk about it.
Okay. I mean, we were doing this thing and staying busy with it, and there was no income.
This man's all about the money.
I do appreciate a good paycheck. I appreciate investing in things that will hopefully last for a long time. And by the way, just so everyone knows, before someone hates on me for doing the photography thing and where's the money, it is making money. And also, I was able to, as I did with Andy, explain clearly with my wife that this camera will help take good photos of our family for a very long time. And I want that. I'll become grandpa someday and be doing all that. And that's okay. Just like the non-monetary value we find in recording an episode with Andy.
Look at that. Pardon me hawking up a lung over here. Do you struggle with seasonal allergies?
I do, but because of Plexus.
Oh, there it is. This isn't an ad read. Not a sponsor.
Yeah, we're sponsored.
Not a sponsor. Yeah, you're just trying to pay for your subscription that you pay.
Yeah, so if anyone has seasonal allergies and needs a...
okay, you can't guarantee it's going to fix that. It just happened to fix yours.
Okay, but it just happened to do a lot of things for us. That's just one of the side effects, you know? No seasonal allergies. It's been a little worse this year, I think. I think the pollen is worse this year, by the way.
You wouldn't call it a side effect. You'd call it a pro.
I'm calling it a side effect.
Side effect has a bad connotation.
Plexus is bad.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you're making it sound like. Okay. No, apparently, as I get older and I learn more about allergies, apparently when you go to a different area than the one you're used to, it hits you harder. So I went to Asheville. Like, my family went to Asheville this past week, and I got absolutely punched in the face with my allergies. And I came back and started to calm down, but it's still, like, I'm still draining, like, mucus everywhere. But, so, basically, when we were talking about this podcast and like we were going OD on like Instagram and LinkedIn, like making all this content, you enjoyed it from the perspective of you enjoyed like the creative challenge. But where it lacked for you is that A, it wasn't making money. B, it wasn't something that you, if it were to start making money, it doesn't sound like something you want to do as like your full-time job. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, like if I was to choose a full-time job, just the for fun, would it be being a personality, essentially?
You got a pretty good personality.
Or would it be like creating something for someone that isn't based on my personality? It'd be the latter.
Well, so what you didn't then see in this is obviously this is like quote unquote us getting in our reps. So like we might not be doing this if we kept doing this long term. Like we could have ended up making, like someone could have seen it and been like, oh, come make content for me. And then that would have fit the bill of like making something for someone else.
Maybe. I don't know.
But you were more interested. How long have you been doing photography?
You mean like an actually making money?
No, just like, because I know you just didn't pick up a camera for the first time.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I've been shooting pictures since I was like 12.
Oh, so this is what I want to be when I grow up. You've wanted to do this for a while. Yeah. Or you've had an interest in it.
Yeah, like when I was 16, 17, I was like, man, I really should think about starting a little business, side hustle on the side, and I never did it because, you know, I was dumb. And then in college, I took a bunch of photography classes, and even then I was like, oh, I should take, you know, try that. And then here we are now, you know, 10 years later, finally doing it.
So no matter what, Underqualified Thoughts was your gateway to creating your photography empire.
Sure.
You're like, oh, I have this creative output and enough time to do it. Maybe I do the creative output I actually want to do.
That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Leave your brother-in-law now and go do your own thing.
Convince your brother-in-law to record a podcast with you and then leave him.
Which, for the record, let's not make it out like I'm just over here leaving and you've been asking me every single week to go do this. Andy, how about you now share your own past 5 months, huh?
No, don't be like a sinister, like, tell people. Because, well, this actually may happen more often now that we don't get weekly lunches together.
What? This?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Huh.
But
we'll see.
Many factors. One, what's the main thing that we talk about on this podcast?
What's the main thing we talk about? I mean, our lives, Underqualified Thoughts, things we're going through.
Specifically, we often gear it towards our career. At least the start, because we were both job searching.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. While you're interviewing with another company, while you're at your current company, to talk about that. So that was one reason, just out of the respect of my company and out of the self-preservation of like not just being super public about looking for a job outside of my current job. Which, let's update that. I don't know if we ever told people that I got a job at Wells.
So what's the story there?
I got displaced at Wells on Halloween. I was told that I was going to be displaced and then it would take 30 days and then it would actually go into effect. So come late November, early December, I'm done at Wells and I'm on the internet looking and applying for jobs, both at Wells in my same department and elsewhere in the world. I apply to this place called Red Ventures, among many others, but they are the only ones who actually like responded to me. And I knew a couple people who worked there. So when that, like I saw that post on LinkedIn, I was like, oh, Red Ventures, associate product manager. Like I know people who work there and who have worked there in the past. So I start talking to them about it and they recommend I apply, or I guess after I applied, they really recommended like I seriously consider it. And because of people I knew, which is classic, it's like who you know, I put someone's name down on the application as like a referral. And so the recruiter reaches out to me. He's like, hey, we'd like to extend you an interview. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you do. Because like, I know somebody. It's not like yet because of what I'm able to offer. So that interview process started at the same time I was going through the interview process with Wells Fargo. I go through the 4 rounds of interviews at Red Ventures, 2 of which before I got my job at Wells, 2 of which after I had started back up at Wells, and they end up letting me know that they're going with a different candidate. But I was like, it was me and this other person. They chose this other person, but they still want to like get me at their company, just not in that role. So I start working at Wells and I'm not, it sounds like, and it gets to the point where I'm 1 foot out the door with Wells, but I wasn't when I took the job. I was like, this job actually seems interesting. I'm excited for this like new direction, because as we've talked about a lot in this podcast, my first job at Wells was super boring, not really what I was into, and there wasn't a lot of work for me to do. So then as I'm starting my job at Wells, obviously I'm struggling with contentment because I have this other opportunity that I'm like considering as well. So I'm like not fully, like it's hard for me to fully focus my mind at Wells. Then that opportunity falls through. So then I'm trying to fully focus at Wells. And it still was at that time more of the same, where there wasn't a lot of work for me to put my hands to. And so I was struggling a lot with contentment there, just trying to like figure out like, do I leave? Do I stay and push to like get more involved here and get more responsibility? And then it just so happened that at the beginning of March that another role opened up at Red Ventures. And they told me that because it was in the same department, all I'd have to do is just talk to the hiring manager. And if the hiring manager wanted to hire me, I didn't have to go through all the other rounds again because it would be with the exact same people. And so that was intriguing enough to have the conversation. And then they made me an offer, not as an associate product manager, but as a product manager, which is like no pay difference, but obviously it gives me more responsibility, or at least has a higher title. So that would allow me to move at a faster pace than I would at Wells. So yeah, that was the first time I ever put in, like, that was the first time I ever quit my job where the only thing that was changing in my life was my job. Like, in the past, it's been like, I'm moving, or I'm having a kid, or I'm like changing careers. This one was the first time, which was, it was tough, but obviously you gotta do tough things at times, where I was like, hey, thank you. Thank you for pouring into me. Goodbye. Yeah. So that is a gloss over a lot of details there, but that was a long, like 3 months of like back and forth. Like, do I look for work outside of Red Ventures while I'm at Wells? Do I just seek to be content at Wells? Do I just wait for an opportunity at Red Ventures? Do I, what, like, what's the plan? What are we doing here? I'm clearly not in control and I don't like that.
And so all that being said, the podcast has been on the back burner, I'll say.
Second reason, as you know very well now, we used to have babies who would just sit still. And we're not much of that. Like, it was overwhelming because it was the first time we were being parents. But, like, looking back on that, like, there were times where Lily would take naps on the couch because we would just put a blanket on the couch and she'd be asleep in her little swaddle. Now, fair to say, she's a full handful. As Miriam is becoming more of a handful as well. Mm-hmm. Now that she's walking, shout out.
That's right.
And all that to say that, as is often spoke about with parents, that like you get less and less free time as the years go on. You're not playing pickleball anymore.
Nope.
You're golfing fewer times a year.
That's very accurate.
And so for you, it's just interesting. You saw this podcast, and I think I picked up on this and was trying to push it that direction too, as like a hobby that would become a side hustle that would then make money. I just saw it as a fun hobby, and I knew if we wanted to make it big, we were going to be doing it for a long time, not making money.
And so, well, wait, hold on. Initially, it was, I was trying to get us to do it because it's just a good way to
time capsule.
Yeah. At the very beginning. And then that's what,
yeah.
Then, yeah.
So it was time capsule. Then I have like a, you know what, I watch a lot of like YouTube, and so like had an interest in creating like a media empire or whatever, just like doing something fun like that. But then when I turned it that direction, then I think you picked up on like, oh, like then let's make money with it. And I was like, whoa, we got to do like a lot more stuff before we can make money off of it, because building a personal brand is really hard, or just a brand in general is really hard.
Yeah, brand, yeah. Because personal brand is easier in some ways because it's you, your own.
Yeah, this one's hard because you don't see our face. You're not watching a video, but you're still viewers. Shout out. And we basically just have to convince you to give us 45 minutes to an hour of your time just to listen to us talk about ourselves. So that's really hard to do. And so when you weren't interested in going in the direction of trying to make money off of it, and just, we, I guess, more or less downgraded it to just a hobby, I was like, well, do I want to give this up? As you know, we have less free time. I was like, do I want to give up my other hobbies for this? And as of right now, my main hobby is rock climbing. And I know that's going to go. I don't know when, but.
Why? Why is it going
to
go?
Just like time. Like, you know, as I have more kids, my kids aren't, I'm going to try to get them to be interested in rock climbing because I think that'd be a fun outlet for them. But if Lily doesn't care, and so then now I'm like weekly, which, so that's also a thing, and maybe people have different opinions on it, but I think like rock climbing is something, because the gym membership is so expensive, and if you stop doing it for long enough, like you'll lose your calluses and you'll like lose some strength in your forearms, because let's be honest, like you're not really using a lot of grip strength and forearm strength in our day-to-day lives. it's something that, like, if I'm not keeping up with it at a certain clip, like right now I'm going twice a week. Even if I go once a week, I don't know if it would be worth it. Just because there's a high barrier to entry upkeep and all that stuff.
It's similar to golf in that idea that if you just stop, unless you're just insanely talented, you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like riding a bike.
Yeah. At the very least, you get to keep your clubs. So that helps you. You just like, but then it's the same thing. Like I could buy a, like one of those really intense like setups and like have a hangboard.
You could
home.
Go play and you could, yeah, you could go climb, but yeah.
But the point is, so it's both physically. So obviously like I could like break a finger or like do something and then that's gone. Or just like the more inevitable is that as we have more kids, we'll have less free time.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming that rock climbing, my window for rock climbing is now hopeful that it would extend if Lily or any kid after that is interested, but just kind of like weighing the odds of like, we could do this podcast as a hobby 10 years from now more easily than I could be rock climbing twice a week 10 years from now.
So that from that point of view, it makes sense. I would be hard pressed to imagine that our personal endeavors and hobbies and things like that would be extinct. But yeah, I just think maybe how it looks is different.
Right. It was like 10 years when, so talk about building that cutting board. I don't know if we've talked about it on here, but when Lily was younger and we came up here a lot, like around Thanksgiving and Christmas, like the year she was born, I had like lots of free time. Like
is everyone, that when we started that?
No, I think we started the summer after. Okay. But I started thinking about it then. Because I had more free time. Everyone was rightfully so, like doting over the first grandbaby. Mm-hmm. And so when we came up here, I had loads of free time. So it's like, oh yeah, let me like build from, not from scratch. Like obviously the wood was already cut down by Caitlin's grandpa and her uncle. But let's take these two long 2x4s and like turn them into something. And then as the project got drawn out and I had less free time, it became more of a chore to get it done. Because it was like trying to figure time to come on up here and what I needed to do because it's my first woodworking project. I have no clue what I need to do.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's not like they'll be extinct, but, you know, it's unlikely now that I'm going to get big into woodworking. It's likely that my hobbies would be things that are more like reading a book or like getting lunch with friends or just like doing something like simple and easy that I can know for a fact, like, hey, I'm going to be out of the house for an hour and then I'll be back.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree.
What other hobbies have you had to cut?
Well, I mean, yeah, so there's the pickleball, cut that. I've mostly cut disc golf purely from a...
Bored with it?
Yeah, just...
You only do it so many times.
Yeah, and I've done it so much, and I'll go with people if they're going, but I won't go by myself.
Yeah, I got very close to that with rock climbing because of the same thing. It's like you go to the exact same gym. Yes, they change the routes.
Yeah.
But as far as disc golf, like you can get to a certain point, then it's really hard to progress and you have to put in the hours. That's like kind of where I'm at with climbing. I'm way better than someone who's shown up to the gym for the first time. And I'm better than maybe like a third of the people who are at the gym. But then, you know, there's this like elite upper echelon level of people who are like just climbing insane stuff, and I'm like, I don't have the time to put in.
Well, and people say that, people think maybe that I golf a lot or whatever. I really don't. Like I actually practice in my garage.
I've seen the setup.
I mean, the most basic thing in the world, but like I practice in there. And I can do that whenever Miriam goes down for bed, which is great. Like I can go out there and hit 100 balls before I come back in. And I do that pretty much every day. Like I'll just 15 minutes hit as many as I can then come back in. I've cut disc golf. I mean, I've added photography. So
That's a side hustle. That's different.
Yeah, however you want to factor that in. But I enjoy it a lot. Like the other day, actually, I went out and shot some seniors, and I actually forgot to ask for payment at the end. So much so that they're like, and how much do we pay you again? And I was like, oh, wait, I'm getting paid to do this. I forgot. Because it was fun. Like, I enjoyed it. So I kind of feel like it's a hobby. It's in that way because I enjoy it so much. So I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, life is busy right now, for sure. You know, as we sit here and what is it, Friday? Masters weekend?
Ah, there it is. Yeah. I mean, this is an OG. Like, this is fine. Like, talking into a microphone, not having any planning. I'm assuming you're just going to edit the episode, and what editing means is that you're not going to cut out any of the ums and uhs. You're just going to time it up and slap it.
Yeah. Or I'll send it to you, and you can do whatever you want.
No. I was... It's funny. My coworker, Trey, I guess my former coworker, Rip, on my last day, he said... It's funny, just the different stage of life. He's like young, single. He's like, oh, you have any fun plans for like the week off? And I was like, Trey, I am a husband. I am a father. And then I realized later in the conversation, I was like, I'm also a new homeowner. I have responsibilities and chores. That is what I'm doing with my week off. So I did.
That's pretty funny.
I did some house projects yesterday. And this weekend is stain the deck weekend.
Oh, so you're doing it this weekend?
Yeah. Because I mean, when's a better time when I don't have a job?
And you start, when do you start your next job?
Tuesday.
Okay.
This will be interesting, especially if I start a new job. I'm assuming, I don't know if the company has much of, like, cares about LinkedIn at all, but like if I'll be just connecting with a bunch of new people that I'm meeting, and then all of a sudden they're just like, who's this new coworker with a podcast?
That's, yeah, that'd be interesting, especially since you still have it up.
Well, that's what's also been interesting to experience. I've told people, like, I know the internet is big, so I know that we could put this podcast up and, like, not overnight, but if you put in the work, 10,000 people could be listening to
it
eventually.
Eventually it would be, yeah, pretty big.
But I've always thought it as, like, 10,000 people I don't know. It was so weird every time, like, a coworker or someone from my church was like, oh, hey, I listened to an episode, and I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Why? You? How? And it's like as simple as you put it online, someone who knows you clicked on it.
Yep.
Which, for whatever reason, my brain just didn't process that. But what my brain did know ahead of time, and then now experientially, is that whenever someone is trying to build something media, there's like a lot of attention and almost like expectations out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Like, it's really hard to explain. I found it really hard to explain to people when they ask about the podcast. They're like really interested and excited, like maybe because they might have wanted to do something like that and they see you doing it. Or, you know, we just know that like someone from middle of nowhere, America, or anywhere in the world can start posting something online and it gains enough traction that they're famous. And they're having a lavish lifestyle and living it up. And so I don't know if that's what people jump to. Because when they find out I have a podcast, they're like very like, oh, you have a podcast. Like, tell me about that. What are your, like, not like, what are your plans and goals? But they definitely, when I say it's a hobby, it doesn't really click. They keep asking more questions about what we're going to do with
it. It's a little bit sensational. That's what it is. Maybe. People look at it and like, oh, that's something that most average people can do, but they just don't because of imposter syndrome or something like that. Mm-hmm. Which ironically kind of gets to our topic. Of
Underworld
of Thoughts, you know. Ironic. But a similar thing happened with the photography deal. People will comment, come up to church, whatever. But with that, for me at least, it's less about the I don't really care what following I have as long as I'm having fun and making money. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm doing either two of those things, great. It could be either one. I mean, but if it's both, then great. If it's having fun or just making money. Whereas, yeah, this one, it's like people know that you don't typically just start a podcast or create a media thing for the sake of, well, yourself.
Well, this is like I think the mentality we have around this is like how old YouTube, like in 2009.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Maybe 2006. I don't know when YouTube actually started, somewhere in that time frame. People were just posting videos because it was mm-hmm. fun. It was like a lot of the people who are famous creators for a long time were like the weird kids who were just always filming shorts. And then there was finally somewhere for them mm-hmm. to put it. Versus now.
If you're on YouTube, it's because you're trying to do something on YouTube. Yeah.
Because you've seen the money that's there. You've seen, like, you have a plan. Like, you have a brand. It's have a vision. You have a strategy. You have a marketing. Like, you're ready to go and you're gearing up to try and make it your career. And so, yeah, I guess we're old-fashioned in that sense, that we're just like, mm-hmm. We're making it because it's fun at this level to make it. It was not fun when all of a sudden I look, I'm like, oh, like, cause when I was displaced from Wells and I had a month off before I got rehired, I was doing a lot of this. Like, we had recorded an episode and then I recorded the episode with Joseph, and I was spending a lot of time like editing it, making the, like, writing up the post for LinkedIn, writing the description, like making, getting it the right keywords, all this stuff. And then I realized that, you know, it quickly had gone from a hobby to like, oh, I'm acting like I'm trying to make this a career, but I don't want to make it a career.
Yep. At least right now. Yeah.
Yeah. At least not right now. And
it's not the immediate income earner maker thing.
Right. And it's also not that, like, a bit of my personality is that when I, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself when I do something, like, I, as you've seen with the cutting board, like, I want it to look perfect, even though why is it going to look perfect? I've never made a cutting board before in my entire life.
Yep.
Same thing with this. It's like, I know a lot about media because I've watched YouTube for a long time and, like, kind of how the creator economy works, but I've never done it before. But I was still, like, putting my pressure on myself to, like, do all these things right so that if we wanted to make this a career, we had that as an opportunity rather than just doing it because I enjoyed it. And there were moments, like, yeah, sometimes it was fun to, like, create the YouTube slides or whatever we would put up, but then it very quickly became like, hey, you just worked on this for like 3 hours and you're like, you feel like you have to get this right. What's going on?
Yeah.
How's the Masters going? Caleb is tri-screening right now?
Yeah, I guess so. It's good. Bryson's in the lead. I'm hoping he stays there.
This guy. Such a fan. Such a DeChambeau fan.
I mean, he's hanging on. He's not as hot today as he was yesterday, but...
Did you care about watching golf before you started playing golf?
I think I'd watch it occasionally.
But you're like hooked now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is cool.
You have a laptop dedicated to the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching it all day. And yesterday. I won't do this so much as, like, for tomorrow, for example, it's Saturday. And so I'm going to be out and about doing stuff, whatever. Sunday's church. It's not so bad that I would, like, stay home in all day tomorrow with this playing. But, like, out and about, I'll definitely check the scores.
Oh, yeah.
And then watch highlights after or something.
That's so funny. That was one of my... Have I told you that that was one of my biggest culture shocks when I moved to Charlotte? Was people our age caring about golf?
From Virginia?
Well, yeah. I mean, just... So, I grew up in a military community. Not to say that they don't care about golf, but I did not grow up in, like, the Charlotte finance world.
Oh, yeah.
Where, I could see that. Or even in this... Like, Virginia's the South, but it's not the... It's not... culturally like Southern proper is that I can think the way to put it. But yeah, it was such a culture shock. There were two things when I moved to Charlotte and started my job. One, why people my age, like low to mid 20s, were golfing regularly and were talking about it all the time and watching it and following it and just like, you know, always being like, oh dude, this summer I'm gonna take a couple strokes off my game, just like it was their fun hobby. And how many of the guys would always be talking about what they were grilling or smoking that weekend. Like, those were things just in where I came from. I was like, that's something you care about when you're like 40 and you don't have like any of the other like fun, exciting hobbies that you can do. It's like, oh, I'll like get really into grilling and I'll go golfing. But people were obsessed with it in like their prime free time years. And that just blew my mind.
Yeah. I don't really know why or how it, I don't know. There is a lot of 25 to 35 year old guys that play golf, and they also do happen to be tied to the Charlotte market, especially in finance. I'm not sure why.
I think it might be a part of like the Southern proper culture, but there's too many factors to try and understand why.
Yeah. And you'd also have to think about it from a perspective of like, go to the other regions of America and see what are their 25 to 35 year olds doing. Are they doing a similarly expensive and time consuming sport that they do with other guys? I don't know.
All right, there we go. We got to build a media empire so that we can travel around the country and ask questions like this.
We'll see.
We'll all see.
I'm assuming we'll see all y'all back in October.
No, dude, Beach Week. Come on, we gotta record one at Beach Week. That's easy.
I guess that is easy.
What are we gonna do? Are you coming early this year? Or have you decided that?
I'm still on the fence. And I'm not normally someone that's on the fence.
Yeah, you don't like being on the fence. You want to be on one side.
I mean, if you want to push me over right now, I will be on a side.
Yeah, I know which side you'll be on. Which is why I'm not pushing you, because I want you to be on the other side.
Yeah, you're lucky I'm on the fence.
Point is, if we're together for 9 days and at the least like 6 or 7, we're going to be so bored by Wednesday. We're going to be sick of playing. I guess there's not a pool table at this one because we're going back to. We're going to be sick of playing cornhole.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be sick of. I don't even know if the volleyball net's going to be there this year.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll at least pull on our phones at the very least, which hopefully the audio quality is good. We went OG today.
Oh, yeah.
I have the microphone sitting in my backpack. I was prepared.
I lobbied against it.
And you won.
Oh, well. I don't know. Just keep it simple.
Keep it cash. Keep it simple. We didn't even have an outline.
No.
I think we talked about everything we wanted to talk about. But then again,
I think we did.
We didn't plan about what to talk about.
I think... I don't know. I don't know what the future of this podcast is.
Dude, you're trying to kill it, aren't you?
I'm not trying to kill it. I've invited you every week almost for the past 20 weeks.
Hey, man, you don't got to kill it. Although we could kill it and then bring back another podcast once we're like 5 years from now, once we have like no free time.
Oh, a different title?
Different title.
Yeah.
Or maybe, well, that I alluded to it earlier. We don't like another reason why I didn't feel all the other things I said. But then us having lunch weekly basically is what this served the
purpose of. We could have recorded that, yeah.
And so, well, probably not. Wells would have been like, don't record in our building. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I don't know what rule, all of the rules that they have. But point is, like, part of this podcast was the outlet of us just talking through our lives together, and we were already doing that. Mm-hmm. Now that we're not going to naturally do that, we might make time for it.
Maybe. We'll see.
Only time will tell.